This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 99. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us on pitchvision.com. My name is David Hinchliffe.
And I'm Bernard.
You can call us on
020-88-167-691.
Or email us on
mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com.
So here we are, Berners, episode or show number 99. We're just one flick off the hip away from our century. Are you looking forward to that next week?
Oh, it's going to be emotional turn for us here, hitting those three figures, standing applause from the balcony. What are you? Are you a helmet kisser?
Just a helmet, quiet
helmet kisser or air puncher?
Just a quiet raise of the bat and a little air punch.
Yeah. You see people often look to the skies to think of past heroes they've shared soil with. Remember them? I look to God and just say, how did I get here today? How did I get here? Drop four times, miss stumping, miss run out. 100 on the board, lovely. Look in the book.
They don't mention that, do they, in the scorecard, how many times you weren't out. They only mention how many times you were out and how many runs you got. So that's all that matters.
Exactly.
So we've got our pre-season net starting this week, a little bit late this season for some reason, but we're up and running at the weekend. So I'm quite looking forward to getting the bat out of the shed and dusting down the pads.
Pace some young 15-year-old red-faced lad all around a sports gym for an hour on Saturday morning.
Yeah, exactly. Go in the net with the third 11 bowlers and the wicket keepers who are bowling and just smash
that's
it around.
One.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's the way to get your eye in.
One of those classic ones, isn't it? First training session, everyone's at the top of the net talking about their stag do's and what they've done over the winter, football and so on. Someone leathers one back straight on the bonnet, and you've got a casualty before you've even started. No one's paying attention.
It's not a net without the shout of heads.
Yeah, heads. And the crash of the ball against the basketball ring or back wall. Good luck.
Well, we've got a coach this year, so hopefully we'll have a little bit of organisation to it. So fingers crossed that...
Blimey.
Yeah. So, well, we've had a coach the last couple of years, and he's done quite a good job in getting us to do some fielding practice and a bit of technical work. So, fingers crossed we'll reap the benefits of that. What happened last year was that he came to all our winter net sessions. We were really honed our fielding and the batting was good and the bowling was accurate, but he couldn't do any training in the summer. So,
oh, right. That's good of him.
The first 3 or 4 weeks, we were really good, but you could see it gradually going downhill. By the end of May, we were all a shocking mess again because nobody was doing anything in practice which was valuable. So so what we've got coming up on the show, speaking of coaching, we've got some quite high level stuff this week for people who are a bit more serious than just wanting to turn up the nets and turning your arm over. We've got a bit more of our interview with Chris Peplow. He's telling us how he made Ealing Cricket Club single-handedly the most successful cricket club in the whole country. I think that's right, isn't it, Berners?
Yes, fair comment. Yep.
Yeah. We've got our Australian contingent back again, Lee Lowry, and he's giving us some tips on decision making from his top level club cricket experiences in Australia. And if you want to know how the difference between Australian cricket culture and British cricket culture, you only have to go to a net session in Australia at the higher levels of club cricket to see the difference. They train twice a week and they take it pretty seriously over there, and the interview on decision making with Lee tells us all you need to know about the difference there. So that'll be interesting for us, and best of all, we've got Pete Johnston, who may not be a name that you've heard of, but he's a level 4 coach who is the analyst for the Irish cricket team. And he's agreed to chat to us during the Irish World Cup campaign. He's out in Dubai at the moment at the World Cricket Centre, and he's using pitch vision to help the Irish bowlers and batsmen get in the best of nick possible before the World Cup begins. So, Berners, that's going to be quite exciting for us to get the inside track on how Ireland are going to take on some of the top nations in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, speaking to Phil Simmons, actually, just recently they've been using the pitch vision system over there in Dublin just prior to their departure. And he was very optimistic, I think, about their opportunities and potential ability to perform over there. And he feels that his boys have had a good rest, and there's been a lot of cricket played by most of the other international teams as of late. So I think he's going in there with the optimism of being fresh and really taking some of these guys on in this form of the game. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, well, the odds are stacked against them somewhat in the format this time, aren't they? It makes it a lot harder for the Associate Nations to get through like they could in the last World Cup. But if they can pull off a shock or two, the Irish are a good side.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the key to it is having the five bowlers. It's, you know, a 50-over game, and the responsibility's got to be shared. So it's just whether they can kind of last the distance, I think, with the bowlers. But they're definitely improving. And
the Irish as well, they've shown they can beat a top side, because of course they bowled out Pakistan, didn't they, in the 2007 World Cup, and then knocked them off. Had a little wobble, but knocked them off. I think that's the secret, isn't it? If you've got a weaker side, then the secret to winning those 50-over matches is to stick them in and bowl like demons, so they can't put a score on the board, and then knock them off.
That's it. Get the pressure on them, turn the tide. Bob's your dad's brother.
Okay, so let's get into our first interview with Irish analyst Pete Johnson, who introduces himself. If we start by you explaining who you are, what you do, and how you got to doing it.
Yeah, I'm Peter Johnston. I'm assistant coach and video analyst with the Irish cricket team. It's my full-time job. I've been working with the side since just before the World Cup in 2007, the last World Cup. When I started out, I was the analyst. Before that, I worked with the Irish women's team and took them to a World Cup in South Africa. Playing-wise, I played Ireland A level.
What is it that an analyst does that is different from a coach?
Yeah, quite a lot of things, I suppose. You've obviously got the skills side of things, which we might do more when we've got a down period or in the off season, with players working indoors. You know, a lot of technical things, I suppose. Be using the likes of pitch vision, which we've just got installed in our indoor centre, to challenge bowlers and to see where they are skills-wise, test their skills. So we'll be keeping track of that kind of thing, and then assessing players using video too, with either high-speed cameras or using Citizen Coach, the likes of that. And then obviously you've got the sort of match analysis and performance side of things, where you're analysing key performance indicators of individual players, your own team, looking at the opposition and looking at strengths and weaknesses, coming up with game plans, making short movies of the opposition, where we want to bowl to them, and things like that, basically.
How does using technology help with traditional coaching methods, you know, with a coach who watches the player and then suggests technical changes, for example? How does using technology to formalise what a coach sees help the coach?
Yeah, I think it helps the coach and the player. No stone goes unturned, and we can always see players and analyse them and look for weaknesses. And likewise, our players can know their own strengths and also then work as well on their weaknesses too, to try and counteract that, but very much to play to their strengths. So I think seeing the vision is a massive thing. For coaches, key performance indicators is a big thing. So each player can strive towards having certain goals, lower dot ball percentages, higher runs per scoring shot, depending on the format of the game. they can then, you know, try and better themselves. We can also compare to the best sides in the world and try and, you know, emulate what the number one team in the world is doing in specific areas. So there's so much that can really be looked at from a analysis point of view.
And you're in Dubai at the moment. You're preparing the Irish team for the World Cup.
Yeah.
What's a typical day like of that preparation for you and for the team?
Okay, well, just today, for example, we actually started off at 6:30 in the morning with yoga, then have some breakfast, have maybe about half an hour to get ready for practice. Mm-hmm. Then we're off to practice at the Global Cricket School in Dubai, where the indoor centre, in fact, only opened about 2 days ago, and the two practice grounds are very new as well. But the facilities are first class, probably up there at the very best in the world. Today in the morning, we tend to split it up. So we'll have one group doing strength and conditioning, another group will be working in the nets, and then another group will be working on fielding. So today I have the guys for fielding. Then that will all start about 9 o'clock. We'll finish up probably about 12, half 12, have some lunch. And then guys that need to work on specifics in the afternoon will do so. So today we had four or five batters working on Merlin, which is obviously a spin machine. Then sometimes we'll have obviously a warm down, or cool down, ice baths and the likes of that, or a pool session, and then it'll be back to the hotel.
Okay, Berners, it's about time we got stuck into the questions section. Of course, you'll know if you're a regular listener that the best question of the week always wins a prize, a coaching course on Pitch Vision Academy. So if you're interested in getting a coaching course and getting your coaching questions answered, you can always email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com or give us a call. We'll give you the number at the end of the show. So we've only got time for one question this week, so he's a shoo-in to win the prize. So Berners, who have we got this week? Who have you selected this week to get some coaching advice from us?
We've got a young Lachlan Fraser here. Sounds like he's collected what can only be described as the gollywobbles before a couple of games here. Looks like he's a bit of a rain seeker, often wakes up not in the right frame of mind, gets chucked the new nut, and he's just fallen to pieces, basically. It's down the leg side, couple of full tosses, Yorkers, and he's not gone too well. Lost a bit of confidence. I think it's definitely a confidence-orientated question and answer session this week, Coach.
Yeah, on his email, which was quite long, which I like because it gave us a lot of detail, he was telling us the story of how he woke up not wanting to play because he got promoted to a higher level before he'd even bowled a ball due to rain. And then he was asked to open the bowling when he considers himself a first change bowler. So to me, what that sounds like is, he, as you said, Berners, he's got himself completely in the wrong mindset straight away. He's saying to himself, I don't deserve to be here. I'm not going to bowl well. I really don't want to play. And I'm bowling out of position. I'm opening the bowling when really I'm a first or second change bowler.
Yeah.
So he's making all the excuses that he can to fail. So it's no wonder that he does fail, because he's already started in the mindset of saying, well, I'm definitely going to fail. So, yeah, he needs to change his mindset by doing a couple of things. The first thing is to recognise when he's making these negative thoughts and be able to block them out more effectively, just by telling himself, well, hang on a minute, I know I'm a good bowler. I wouldn't have been promoted unless I'm a good bowler. So why am I thinking all these negative things?
Yeah.
The other thing is a bit more, because it all links together, the other thing is a bit more of a technical thing, in that if your head goes, then your technique tends to go. So if you can kind of reverse that by thinking to yourself, well, hang on a minute, if my technique is spot on, then my head won't go because I know I've got a reliable action, then instead of the head going and the body going, the body stays, so the head can't go. You see, you kind of reverse the psychology of it, if you like.
Yeah.
So the way to do that, of course, is to get into the net and get yourself an action that is as repeatable as possible. You don't make any technical mistakes in your action. So what you know that you don't have to think about it when you're at the top of your mark. You know that when you run in, you're going to put the ball there or thereabouts 5 or 6 times and over.
Yep.
Thinking in the Glenn McGrath way of doing things. He was so confident because he knew he could run in, pop it on a length or just back of a length, nip it off the seam and cause problems.
Are we saying that mostly stems from the mind and that his thinking is in the right place to allow his body to then do that? So it was down to his preparation mentally before he actually went out and played?
Yeah, I mean, they link together, obviously. You know, if you are in the nets and you're working on your action all the time and you get to a point where you know your action is reliable and you haven't got that nagging doubt in the back of the head, then the mind just goes with it. Whereas if you just purely focus on your mental preparation, you know, things like, you know, visualization and goal setting, which are all really good things, if you purely focus on that side, then it's completely out of context. If then you're standing at the beginning of your mark and you don't trust your action, then all that goal setting and everything is out of the window. So, it's a bit of both. You want to have a good routine on the morning of the match. So when you get up, you do exactly what you did when you were playing in the third team, but now you're playing in the second team. If it's got you success at some point, which presumably has done, otherwise you wouldn't be promoted to the second team, then why change it? Just do exactly what you would do at any other time. There's no need to change anything. And don't be afraid if the captain throws you the ball and says, I want you to open the bowling. Don't be afraid of
exactly.
That. It's still the same. It's still exactly the same. You're just running in and bowling. It's just you've got a new nut in your hand instead of one that's, you know, been hit into the boundary boards a couple of times. so it's kind of a combination of the way you prepare mentally, the way you prepare physically in terms of your technical preparation, and just saying to yourself, if you do feel a negative thought, or hang on a minute, why do I need to think negatively about this situation? I know I can do well. I've done well in the past. I can do it again.
So there it is, Lachlan. Go and get them, mate. Step up. Have your Weetabix. Get that new ball in your hand. Be positive and get stuck in.
Speaking of getting stuck in, we're heading around the world now to catch up with our Australian correspondent, Lee Lowry. And Lee's got a few comments this week for us on decision-making and how that can apply whether you're anywhere in the world, from England all the way to Australia and back again. Okay, so this week we're going to be talking a little bit about decision-making, and it's a problem for batsmen all across the world, whether you're in India or England or Australia. So what sort of brought you to notice that decision-making wasn't quite where it should be with the players that you're involved with?
Yeah, just had a situation crop up with a young fella we got who's a quite talented left-hand opening batsman and seems to get out really quite commonly, you know, whether he's putting the ball down mid-off straight or cover, or he might have pushed the field back with a beautiful shot over the top, but then once the field's changed and he's popped it down to or the captain's popped a long on down there, he's put it down his throat as well. So
what kind of stuff can you do in nets to improve that decision making process when perhaps you're not in a game situation, so it makes it a bit more difficult to recreate the situation?
Yeah, well, as you know, you've got pretty limited time. Once you get into the nets there, you might have 7 to 10 minutes, 7 to 12, 10 to 12 minutes. So it makes for a pretty quick turnover there, and it's hard to train that sort of skill, obviously, because you're not going to be fatiguing too many times. You probably only face maybe 40, 50 balls in that session, depending on the style of training. So one thing I was thinking of is that before the batsman goes in, what you could find is we put them under some fatiguing situations before that. So get them running what we do at training, a 5-4-3-2-1. So you run a 5, then a 4, then a 3, then a 2, then a 1, and then do it over again, 1-2-3-4-5. So as they're coming into the 10 to 12 minute session, they're already fatigued, they're blowing a little, going as if they're on 65 or 70, and try and put them under some duress in the nets, of course, and test their decision making that way. So that's one possible way we could try and work on things for those out there.
And you could say to the batsman as he goes in, you know, this is the match situation. It's, you know, the score is, you know, 120 for 3, and you know, you're looking to accelerate. You're on 40 not out, you know, whatever it is. Here's the field. How are you going to play?
Most definitely. That's something which is a big thing in our cricket club and probably a lot of other district and probably county cricket clubs as well, is that as the batsman comes in, we're always asking the bowler, righto, where's the field? And it's probably become more common for us as well, because we're playing the three different formats as well. So, yeah, we're forever having the bowlers yell at us, oh, here's the change in field, especially for 2020 cricket. If they're going to bowl their slower balls, they'll obviously bring a third man or a fine leg up as well and send out a long on, or if they haven't already got that, a long on or a cow corner. So, yeah, that's something that we do train quite a bit, is having the field set to us as that training session goes on.
And I think it's very important when you're trying to improve your skill in any area is to have a feedback loop, is to be getting feedback on how that's working for you or not. And that can be difficult in the nets, because if you hit a ball into the net, you know, how many times has the bowler said, oh, well, that's caught, you know, I had, you know, that's gone straight to cover. And you go, no, it's gone past his hand, it's gone for 4. And I think feedback is an important part of the process. It's not just a matter of training yourself under fatigue, but it's also a matter of being able to learn from your mistakes. And of course, you can't learn from your mistakes in the middle, because when you're out, and you've got another week before you can try again. And in the nets, you can practice that a little bit more effectively. So I'd say as well, try and find a way of getting a feedback method if you are training yourself under fatigue. So it might be a matter of having a coach watching you, or another, or even just the bowler watching you and saying, you know, that was an injudicious shot considering the situation. What do you think you should have done there?
One thing probably not, though, you don't want is coming from the bowlers, as you'd realise that as soon as you get them in the nets and you're bowling to them, everything's 4 and nothing's ever stopped. So it's probably not the bowlers you want to be asking, I reckon. As you say, get the coach or another batting partner to try and determine that sort of thing, because every time you're going to hit a ball into the net, the bowler's going to say, oh, I've got someone there, and you end up finding out they've got 18 blokes on the field. So that's a typical bowlers I've found out. They can never take that.
Thanks, Lee. And in our final interview this week, we catch up with coach of Ealing CC, Chris Peplow, for some more tips. It's always difficult knowing when to bring a talented player in who's quite young. So how, what do you look for in a player that says he looks like he's ready to take the step up and meet the challenge of going into senior cricket? How do you do you work with the academy coaches? What's your method of working it out?
Obviously, we identify a player's potential. Obviously, you'll see through their performances on the pitch in junior cricket when they're dominating in their age groups. You know, it's not just, you know, runs and wickets that we look at. We look at attitude. We look at, you know, sort of mental toughness. We, you know, there's many attributes that make up a good quality cricketer. And, you know, we sort of have a good communication link between myself as a senior head coach, academy coaches and junior coaches. And when, you know, between those sort of people that we feel it's right, then we'll expose them to sort of higher senior cricket. I mean, we're lucky enough as a club to have 5 11s. So we've actually, you know, this season we've had 13 and 14 year olds playing sort of in our fourth and fifth team, you know, which is pretty early for youngsters to be getting involved with cricket. But when they're playing at that sort of level and they're talented kids, we think that they're more than capable to cope with it. And, you know, if they thrive and they do well, then obviously natural progression, they get moved up. And as they start to perform well and feel comfortable in the environments, then, you know, the more senior sides in the first and 11, the captains take note. And it doesn't take long for them to be knocking on the door for these teams.
As a coach, what do you see your role is with the senior teams, the first 11, the second 11? How do you see your role in making the side successful?
Ultimately, you know, I try and make sure there's a good training environment. You know, on the Tuesdays and Thursday nights that we come to practice, I want to make sure that everybody has a decent bat and a bowl. We're, again, very fortunate that we have a couple of bowling machines. We've got 5 lanes and nets, you know, and you know, when players come, you know, make the effort to come after work, that they get the sort of attention that they need and practice that they require to perform on the weekend. And if they can't make it after work, because a lot of players can't do that these days, then I'm here, especially if we're playing a home game, I'm here early on a Saturday morning. Bowling machines are set up and, you know, they can come down and have a good hit prior to the game. You know, I'm making sure that it's fun, it's slightly different. You know, we're making sure that we're covering all bases in the morning before the games. And again, just generally making sure that I'm around and I'm very accessible to anybody that's got any problems with anything that they want to work on.
You mentioned training environment there. One of the problems in club cricket, especially in the UK, is training can be quite underrated. It can be you turn up, you have your hit, you turn your arm over and you go home. How do you create an environment that's a little bit more structured and allows players to develop rather than just sort of having a bit of a hit and then a pint of beer afterwards?
It's a very good question. It's extremely difficult, you know, because ultimately we are still amateur cricketers. So it all depends a lot on the hunger of the individuals turning up to training. But, you know, the captain of the club sets a precedent early on. If you want to play first and second team cricket, then it's important that you come down and you train hard. And all that I do is make sure the environment is there for them to come down. You know, we don't sort of take lightly to sort of people bowling spin when they're seamers and vice versa. You know, we make sure there's some fielding practice going on to make sure the intensity's there, you know, because ultimately if you don't put it in during the training, then you can't expect to perform on the Saturday when you play.
So that's all we got time for this week. If you want your questions answered or you have anything to tell us, your cricketing stories are always welcome, and we have our categories open on pitchvision.com. You can get in touch with us, and Berners, you've got the contact details there.
Yeah, if you'd like to drop us an email at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com, or alternatively just drop us a quick call. Our number here is 020-88-16-7691.
But you can also get us on Facebook. If you do a search for Pitch Vision Academy, you can find us that way. And our Twitter account is TV Cricket Coach. So we'll see you next time when we bring up our century.